There's some positive news in Chinese financial markets today, with China's second largest property developer, the Evergrande Group, announcing it will be able to settle interest payments which are due on a domestic bond today. For the past couple of weeks, Evergrande has looked to be on the verge of collapse. It's been sparking concerns for the wider financial system. In a moment, Shane Oliver, economist with AMP Capital, will explain what this potential collapse would mean for Australia's markets. But first, Matt Bevan has been taking a look at how things got to this point. Matt, hello there.
G'day, Fran. I'm going to do something a bit different this morning and bring you a little bit of a parable. I could go on and on about leveraging and debt and that sort of thing for 5 minutes, but while I was making my podcast, China, if you're listening, a few months ago, I came across this story, which we didn't end up using in the podcast, but it really tells you pretty much everything you need to know about the way the Chinese property market works and how it got to this point. The story comes from Dina McMahon, a journalist and analyst who wrote a book about the Chinese financial and property markets called China's Great Wall of Debt. Here it is.
I had some dealings with a farmer out in Laishui, which is a town, or a small city is probably a better way to describe it, on the outskirts of Beijing. This guy and his entire village had their land taken away. And most of the people in the village were more than happy for the government to come in, pay them the money, you know, and then for them to move on to other things. And you go around this village and everyone had a new car because they pretty much took the windfall that they received for their land and bought a car with it. But of course, that windfall was supposed to replace the income from that land really for the rest of their lives. Meanwhile, the guy that I was dealing with, he was a holdout. So the way it works is he lived on land that was designated agricultural. Now, the government then compensated him for his agricultural land at agricultural rates. The local government then rezones it into residential land and then manages to sell it at a significant markup to a property developer because residential land is worth a lot more than agricultural land. The property developer then builds a half a dozen 20-story buildings on it and then sells it on the free market. And at the end of the day, the farmer that I'd been dealing with, the compensation that he was offered for his land would not have been enough to buy one apartment in that newly constructed apartment complex on his land. He said no, and then the local village committee pretty much ignored him and put the compensation in his bank account anyway. And then people came and ripped up all of his crops. And so because the developer didn't immediately start developing the land, and with good reason as well, I mean, given the way that Chinese property prices have moved over the last 20 years, if you can just hold off developing it for a little while, you know, maybe finish your apartments 6 months later than would otherwise have been the plan, then, you know, chances are prices would have gone up significantly further. Mm. So this farmer went back and he replanted. So the developer came back again, ripped it up again, and this time ploughed the field with rocks. And so he went back again. He took out all the rocks and this time planted walnut trees, you know, a cash crop. Let's make, you know, the property developer's not using the land. Let's, you know, try and get a bit more money out of it while it's not being used. The developer came again, ripped up the walnut trees, and this time the developer had deployed dozens of thugs to make sure that there was no trouble. But this farmer I know dashed out to stop them. And when he got there, he and his wife got beaten by the thugs, and his son did as well when he came out to help. And that was kind of the end of the story. These days, the farmer, he earns a little bit of money by being a security guard on various projects around the city. Their original life has been turned upside down, and they are heavily dependent on their two children who now work in the cities for their income.
Dina McMahon there. So a farmer and the farmer's whole village had their land taken away. They were paid too little for their land to afford even one apartment in the giant apartment complexes being built. The property developer, supported by the state, got everything they wanted but delayed completing their project for as long as possible to maximise the price they would get for the apartments. The farmers left behind are left to rely on their children going to the big cities to support them, driving up demand in the cities, increasing the need for more apartments, and meaning more farmers are going to lose their land. All of this leads to skyrocketing property prices, going up an average of 8% a year for the last 20 years, compared to about 6.8% in Australia. These are the conditions that led the Chinese property developers like Evergrande to borrow enormous amounts of money to buy land, wait as long as possible for the payoff, and then capitalize. The Evergrande Group accumulated more than $400 billion in debt, becoming the world's most indebted company betting on the future, which is fine as long as nothing ever changes. The problem is, at the end of last year, something changed. President Xi Jinping, hoping to take the heat out of the property market and make things more affordable, introduced rules on how much debt property companies could accumulate. Evergrande cut prices to try and raise cash quickly, but it wasn't enough, and it has left them, Fran, on the verge of a massive collapse, and concerns that they are the Chinese version of Lehman Brothers.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much.
Cheers, Fran.